is because this one named Jesus is not just the Redeemer of the world, he's our personal Savior. But in order for him to be that, we need to know him. We need to know who he is, what he did, what he said. And so for that reason, we're looking at the Gospel of John, the life of Jesus. And the text we're going to look at today is one of the most amazing texts in the whole Bible. So let me invite you to open your Bibles to the third chapter of Luke. And I'll begin reading at the 21st verse. Listen to the Word of God. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." I think that's amazing, maybe in the whole Bible, because this is the one of only two places that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit show up at the same time doing the same thing. Jesus is there with John the Baptist at the River Jordan as John is baptizing other people for the repentance of sin. And Jesus comes to John and says, "Baptize me." And then the Holy Spirit shows up. And then the voice of God the Father is heard, "This is my Son, my beloved." Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we as Christians, ever since, have confessed one God who is three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And this is one of the places, reasons that we say this, of this event. It's an amazing event. The only other time we have this event is in the Transfiguration, where Jesus is standing up there with Moses and Elijah on each side of him. And again, the Holy Spirit shows up and the voice from heaven says about Jesus, "You are my beloved Son." That's amazing, because what we have is a total union of those three, although they often are, most often in the scriptures, are acting separately, but always in harmony. But here, they're in unison. Looking at these words from God about Jesus, I think it's going to help us know who this one Jesus is for us. That's where it comes home. As mentioned, we should have prayer for the pastor search committee, and we should. And they're working hard, looking for that perfect person to be the next full-time pastor of the First Presbyterian Church of Fairbanks. And God will work through them. But one of the ways they're going about their search is when they have somebody they think, maybe this is the one. What they'll do is look at the references. They want to know what other people who know this person are saying about them. Now, some of those references are more important than others. Some, for example, you might say, well, they put their wife here as a reference. Well, yeah, she may be a little bit biased. This person put a reference over here of somebody who doesn't really know them, they know about them, and we'll check that one out too. Well, Luke gives us references for Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is being referenced by Luke. And those references are those who, from the beginning of Jesus' birth, we have the reference of the angel. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You go, that's a pretty powerful reference. But what do angels know anyway? Oh, well, there were shepherds there too. They had a reference. Well, let's check the shepherds. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Oh, well, yeah, okay, that's a good reference, but yeah, shepherds, they're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Oh, but then there's Magi too. Oh, yeah, what would the Magi say? Well, they saw the child and Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. Well, that's a pretty good reference, but is there anybody else? Oh, yeah, there were some priests in the temple when this young boy, Jesus, came in and began talking with them and preaching with them, and the priest said, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And, well, that's a pretty good reference from those priests who should know a thing or two about God. And then there's John the Baptist giving a reference. He said, I baptize you people with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. Oh, John the Baptist. That's a powerful reference. Just in case you missed it, says Luke. And then Jesus went down to the Jordan, was baptized, and the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit came down, and a voice of God the Father said, you are my beloved Son. Well, you can't get a better reference than that. From the voice of God. And matter of fact, if you listen carefully, you notice that that voice was speaking through a, and it said, like a dove descended in bodily form. It's really interesting. All the Gospels talk about this baptism of Jesus and the Trinity showing up. All of them do, but they all have a little bit of differences. Now, the first one to say talk about this is Mark. And Mark says, and the Spirit came down like a dove. Okay. Now, Matthew, who was probably written after Mark, says, and the Spirit descended like a dove and landed. Okay. Now, Luke says, and the Spirit came down in bodily form like a dove. So, why were the differences? Well, the differences are this. Luke doesn't want anybody confused about who this voice is talking about. Didn't want him to say, well, came down like a dove, but you know, was it John he was talking about, or Uncle Joe, or maybe Mary, or who was it? I'm a little confused. And Luke says, no, it came down and it landed on the shoulder of Jesus. Just in case anybody's confused about who this voice is talking about. You are my beloved Son. I want to take that apart for you because those are five powerful words that should seal for each one of us the identity of Jesus. You, says that voice from heaven. You, nobody else. Now, God never said in the Bible or elsewhere that anybody else was his son. And matter of fact, Jesus didn't even say about himself that he was God's son. He talked about himself as God's as the son of mankind, never about the son of God. It's God who says, you are my son. You, that's very personal. You are my son, says God. And we need to remember that God makes this very personal. It's Jesus that God's talking about. It's because God gives this powerful reference to this one named Jesus that we now call him our Savior, our Lord, and the Son of God. You, says God, are my beloved Son. It's mine. It's all mine, says God. I am the one. You're a part of me. You carry my identity. You carry my DNA. You are my son. God says this, does not say this about anybody else. You're mine. So ever since then, Christians have said, when Jesus speaks, it's God who is speaking. This isn't an opinion of yet another prophet. This is the Son of God. This is the mouth of God. Now, we call the whole of Scripture God's Word. But when Jesus speaks, he is not just speaking on behalf of God, he is God speaking. You are my son, says God. Son. It's a very common word that's used here in our translation. The word is the same word that would be used for a child of a parent. This is my son. That's the word that God uses to refer to Jesus. God is saying, this is the one who is my offspring. He carries my identity. You, Jesus, are my personal son. And then you are my, our translation says, beloved son, but actually, beloved is after you, my son, is the way the Greek reads. And it's the, beloved is the word out of which we get, well, agape, the love word, the Greek love word for the highest kind of love, the divine word, the word that you would, and this is put into a pronoun. This is my beloved. The first century Jew would understand that that was the word that was used to refer to the coming Messiah. This is the beloved one. Sometimes it's translated as chosen. This is the chosen one. This is my son, the chosen one. Chosen to be the Savior for the world. That's the identity that God lays upon Jesus. Now, this is a reference from God so that we know who this one Jesus is and therefore who we can worship. But we might go on and say, okay, so that's really good for Jesus. I'm happy for him. He is the Son of God. And God said so. And the shepherd said so. And the angel said so. And okay, I get it. But that has nothing to do with me. Oh, it does. Because it's the one that is named Jesus. The Son of God was baptized. Baptized, John was baptizing people for the repentance of sin. Was Jesus a sinner? Did he need to have his sins forgiven? Is that why he was baptized? But Scripture tells us that Jesus was without sin. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, says the Gospel of John. So why was Jesus baptized? Well, Jesus was baptized not for his sins, but for our sins, for the sins of the world. The world has this sin culture, this sin character that we are not all exposed to, but we are also participants in. This time that we are in is a time when evil takes place. And God is invading that evil with his son Jesus to redeem it. And when God comes into this world, he comes in that the world may be changed to what it was and meant to be from the very beginning. In Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, we are told, all we are like sheep, gone astray, each to his own way. If this is us, and this is our strain, and the question is, this burden that we carry, that we sometimes call sin, what are we going to do with it? Because it's a big anchor in our lives. It is destroying the good things that God intends for us and for the whole world. What do we do about that? And the harder you try to do something about it, the more you discover there's nothing you can do. That's why Isaiah, the prophet, goes on to say, and he, the Lord God, the iniquities of us all.